Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I am the host. And today I have another great guest. I'm going to bring her on right away so we don't lose any time. And her name is Maya. So, Maya, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Maya, usually what I normally do when I first start the show is I let the person that I'm interviewing talk a little bit about who they are and kind of like what their journey is, and then I'll get in and ask you some questions, okay?
Okay. I'm from South India. I came to this country about 14 years back. My childhood was not perfect. There was a lot of abuse in my childhood. And marriage was not great either. It ended in a divorce. So I was 30 years at the time when my path really started. At 30 years, I looked back and saw that my life was a failure. Everything, there was no love, there was no pain. I didn't know what pain was. I was a survivor. I just went from one place to another. Okay, childhood did not work. Let's become an engineer so that we had the money to get out of the house. And it was, I was very focused and logical in handling all the pain that life handed out to me. So at 30 years, it just caught on. Everything caught on. I could no longer hide, pretend. I had to get some answers quick. That is when my path started. I wanted to find God and ask Him, why did you mess up my life? It was simple because there was so much, I had a purpose, Nancy. I was not ready to let it go with that thought because it was so much of pain for a child to endure at, you know, from 7 years and 14 years and 17 years. There was a lot of physical abuse and there was mental abuse, and then marriage was a position where my power was taken away from me completely. 30 years, that was what it was. And I wanted to find God because I'm an engineer. I felt that His creation had a design flaw. My life. If His design was perfect, why am I suffering so much? So, and I started this journey. I met all ascetics who visited India, who came to California. I would sit in front of them and I would ask them the same question. Can you show me where God is? Because I just want to talk to Him for a few minutes. And they all tried in their own way to help me understand. Finally, I met two teachers. One was Adyashanti, a Zen teacher, a beautiful Zen teacher. He asked me to stop questioning and looking inside for my answers. That is when my path really became warm. Things got really juicy from there on. I started finding out what is true. What is true in me? In every thought that I did, is this true? Is this true? The question, is this true, is a fantastic question to get out of darkness to light. And you need to have the integrity to look at it and find faults in it. That is also needed in this path. I was with Adya for a while, and something was still empty. My heart was not opening. My third eye was open, wide open. Truth was coming, and I could have vision and all that good stuff, but my heart was not open. And then I met my teacher, Maya. For me, the Zen teaching at that point was very comfortable with, you know, the Creator being one. We are all one. Creator is part of you. There is no non-dual teachings. They're very comfortable for me because I could touch this part within me, which was silence, and the part that gave birth to thought. That point, I could do that in the presence of Adya and get comfortable with that place of emptiness, the place where everything is born from that place. But then I was not comfortable with this Creator being with gods and goddesses. I mean, that's not the Creator, but there are beings called gods and goddesses, divine beings, who are not in human form, who have a tremendous power to heal us. And when Goddess Maya, my teacher, my beloved teacher who's with me now, when she came into my life, I was defensive, very defensive. And I was sure she was a phony. I didn't believe in goddesses. I mean, this is just, you know, somebody who's totally messed up in their head. And she was channeled by this beautiful being, Dr. Kali Henius. And I knew Maya for a year and a half, and I would push her away, and I would go and sit in front of Adya, and Maya would keep coming back, and I would push her away, and I would go sit in front of Adya. And the time came for me, 1.5 years of defensiveness, the time came when Maya asked me to meet her in person. For any human being who has a lot of defenses, meeting a being in person is a great thing. Number one, we are visual. We can recognize truth when you can see a person's eyes. Mm-hmm. Something gets lifted at that point. This is an experience that I would wish for everyone to have this on their own. And when I looked and when I came to Maya's presence, this was in Greece, and I was very nervous as she came into the body. I couldn't explain this nervousness. My body was cold. I was nervous. And I stood in front of her, and I refused to look into her eyes, and I was looking down at the ground. And she gently lifted my face with her hands and made me look deeply into her eyes. And that moment I knew, Nancy, a veil was lifted. I saw lifetimes. I saw who she was in that instance. You know, that is how sometimes truth comes with a big bang effect, and that was it for me. This complete knowing who she was, and I broke down. It was years of unhappiness, all my childhood. Everything that went wrong for 30 years, I looked into her eyes and I cried. I cried like a daughter crying to her mother, "Look, mother, look what happened to me. Look, I was alone." And that was how my process started. And my spiritual path is simple. Look within, find out what my shadows are, and release it. Reprogram the unconscious mind. Ask the unconscious mind, what is the reason for this fear? Release it and move on. My path is inward. Because when I started cleaning up my act, my reality changed. We all create our reality. So my path is simple inward. What is the truth here? When I look at someone outside who's reflecting my stuff, and they are reflecting, say, arrogance, and then I would ask myself, what part of me is arrogant here? And I would write, usually when you talk about it in your conscious mind, we don't get it because the unconscious mind is so powerful. We don't even know what exists in the unconscious mind until we make a connection and talk to it. My teacher taught me a technique, a powerful technique to understand what is in the unconscious mind. It is in my book, The Power of Illusion. And using this technique, I released my arrogance, I released my neediness. I was a very needy person, Nancy. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to accept me. I just wanted people to think I'm a good person. And I would do all kinds of social activities so that people will like me. And that's the illusion. You think you're doing good, but your motivation is coming from neediness and lack. And I could release my neediness. I could stand up in the most difficult situations in front of vice presidents who were abusing their power in corporate America. I could stand up and be in my truth and tell them that. And I did all this with the help of understanding the fears in my unconscious mind and releasing it. I'll stop here and let you guide me from here on.
Okay. I was going to ask a question. A lot of people, Maya, you know, because I'm sure you've talked to a lot of them, as I have, they have a very, very deep-seated fear for all of the same reasons that you talked about, fear of being rejected, fear of not being liked, fear that something's not going to turn out, fear that, you know, this is what happened to this person, so this is what's going to happen to me.
Right.
And I'm like you, I tell people that until you go through that fear, you're not going to change it.
Right.
Changing it means looking at it, figuring out how you got there, number one, knowing that you don't have to stay there, number two, working through it and then releasing it, just like what you're talking about.
Right.
The only thing is that I've found with many, many people, because I have techniques that I use for people too, but I have found that their fears are so deep-seated that, you know, they look at you like, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Right.
You know, and you know, yes, it is easy to say if you have done your work.
Yes.
But if you haven't done your work and you try to say it, it comes out phony and it comes out very fake.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who are saying it, but they are not living it.
Yes.
So when people hear, you know, you talk about what you do, people hear what I do and what I have done, their big questions are like, well, but how do I do that?
Okay.
How can I get past that? How can I have the faith that it's going to turn out right? So what would you tell somebody if they said that to you?
Two things. We'll address this subject on faith shortly. First one, when you want to release something, it is just an energy, number one. Fear is an energy. there is a reason why it is sitting there. And the thing about the unconscious mind is, it is not only incidents which happen this lifetime, you also carry stuff from many lifetimes. So when you're acting out, you are acting out all that together at one point. For example, when I was working in this wonderful internet search engine company, I was faced with the fact that all the people there were working 12, 14 hours days. Meetings were not productive. They would yell at each other. I was a project manager. My job was to make the project happen. The three projects I worked, people were unhappy, yelling, screaming. The way the project was done was out of escalation and total unhappiness. And then people would just come to me. For whatever reason, they would come to me and open their heart and talk to me. And I would ask them, you know, why don't you talk to your managers about this and tell them you're overworked? And they would not. And I could understand why, because they had mortgage to pay. They wanted to be competitive. They wanted to not lose out on anything, because everybody there was overworked, and that was a cool thing to do. People worked late in the night, and they, you know, it was a cool thing to do for them. Everyone, that's the way that company moved. It was great. But then the people experience was not great. And then another thing I observed was the vice president was abusing his power. He pushed me around. I stood up. Then he pushed his people around, and they were not standing up, and they were devastated. They would talk about it, and I would just sit and, why are you not speaking up? And that day, I knew what I had to do. Okay, and this is, I'm going to talk about fear that all of us have, fear of survival, fear of rejection. And my soul took over, Nancy. You're familiar with that. When the truth takes over, there is an action you do that is, you just do it. I wrote a letter to the directors and told them, this company is putting projects ahead of people, and here are the case studies. I gave them project 1, 2, 3, 4, documented everything that happened, and I told them, and one more thing, the vice president is abusing his power, and I gave the case points there. And I also told them, you know what, a title doesn't make a person treat another human being as a lower being, a lesser being. A title doesn't give you that right to do that. Then I told at the end of the email, I want a meeting with you by this date to make sure this problem is heard. And you know, Nancy, I'm a contractor. Contractors are not treated equally in companies. They're like, you know, it's just that's my observation. So here I am, a contractor, writing to the directors and asking them to meet with me to start talk about this. Mm-hmm. That day was over. I went home and I was devastated. Nancy, I could not sleep for 2 days. That was a weekend, thankfully. I was crying and I was crying. It is that, you know, all my insecurities came up. Maya, what have you done? You acted foolishly. You will lose your job. You're a single mother. Da, 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 da. And you know, to add to the misery, the minute I wrote my letter, the people I adored in that company, they were furious at me.
Oh,
they
sure
would just turn their face and walk away. And it was devastating for me to see all that. So I have writing work that I do. I knew I had come to a point by Monday morning when the meeting was happening, I better be ready and clear. And I cried. I called upon Archangel Michael to help me. And then I started the writing work my teacher taught me. It is with your dominant hand, you write your unconscious mind and ask a question. So I asked my unconscious mind, what is the reason for you to not have the courage to speak up your truth? Okay, why is it that you don't have that courage? And then my teacher's technique is the unconscious mind talks back with your lesser dominant hand. So I put the pen on my left hand and let it talk to me. It said, you know what, we will be fired. No one will give us a job. We don't have the savings in a bank to take care of us. And then second thing, for me, standing up and speaking up the truth meant, and as a child when I stood up and spoke the truth, Nancy, I would be beaten. It was just a habit. Mm-hmm. It just happened. That's the way it was dealt with. So my unconscious mind associated that now. So when I was talking, you know, we'll get physically hurt. You know, all kinds of stuff was coming out. You know, I didn't thought such stuff existed. I'm 38 years old. I mean, I have dealt with my past. But, you know, all this came up one by one. And then I had to re-educate it. I said, you know what? I want to be honest to who I am. And speak my truth every situation. If they fire me, I will give the opportunity to another company. Why? Because I have the ability to find another job. End of story. We have taken care of ourselves all these years. We took care of ourselves financially. No one took care of us. We took care of ourselves emotionally. We didn't dump it on someone else. So we are capable. I understand what happened in the past happened. But now who we are, no one can mess with us. So I educated it and made it understand why this was important. These people in this company do not have the courage to speak up their truth. And there is something mowing within me, which is true for me, that I need to speak up and bring light to that place, to that point that people are overworked. And I educated it and got this permission, because that process is a powerful process. My friends have released cancer through that process. I released Graves' disease and mitral valve prolapse. You know, these are heart conditions through that process. So this process is powerful, powerful. And I released it. And that, before I went to the meeting, I got the guidance. Maya, go there without judgment. If there is something in you that is judging them, this will not work. So then I sat and did that homework also quickly. Okay, what part in me? Because this vice president, I was furious with him. I was like, okay, what part in me has abused power? I had to make sure, because I was reacting really intensely to him, violating the misusing his power. Then when I wrote, I found out I have abused my power too. When in my younger days, I worked for HP, a beautiful company. I was a leader there. Many people were reporting to me, software developers, and I would push them. I would get a deadline from my managers, and I wanted to look good because I wanted to meet this deadline so I could get all the pats on my back. So I would push my contractors and tell them, you need to meet the deadline. You don't have a choice. I never listened to them. I never heard them. So did I abuse my power there? Yes, I did. Did my people suffer many times in my leadership? Yes, they did. I had to own it. I had to own that, make peace with it, and forgive myself before I went to that meeting. Because if not, I would be constantly reacting to this vice president abusing. Because your outside reality is nothing but what is within you. So I cleaned up my act, and on Monday morning, I went to my directors. She called me to the office, and I sat in there. The first thing I told her was, I am coming from a place of truth. I mean no harm. I'm just speaking my truth. I just want to be heard. And immediately she calmed down. And we talked in the place where I was. She could be calm, and she heard it out. And I had case studies. So we went through together. And finally she said, you know what? We need awareness. We have more projects than people. And I will do what I can with this. I'm not sure what I can do with our other managers, but I will try my best. You know, Nancy, that is how the process is. You don't become fearlessness. You don't just walk into it. You walk through your fears. And here is the technique that my teacher has taught me, you know, owning, seeing your disowns, and understanding what's in your unconscious mind and releasing the fear. Unless you release that fear, you just can't overcome it. It's just another concept by saying, oh, yeah, give up your fear. It's a concept. Release it. Truly release it. And then go. It is easier. I manifested abundance in my house through that. My salary. I had a problem getting a raise, asking for a raise. I had a fixed amount, and my teacher told me, Maya called me one day and said, Maya, raise your salary by $25 more per hour. I was like, no way. She said, raise it. First of all, write your unconscious mind and ask it why it is expecting this salary that it is receiving. And I asked my unconscious mind, can we raise it? And he said, no. Why? We don't have skill sets. Nobody will hire us. You know, all kinds of reasons. And I educated it. Mm-hmm. Within 6 weeks, I was a contractor. Within 6 weeks, the company calls me and says, you know, I have no idea what happened, but there's a mistake here. From the beginning, your salary was a higher amount. Something went wrong, and we'll pay you the remaining balance from today onwards. That blew my mind away. You know, it is simple. You create your reality.
Mm-hmm. The thing is that people, again, Maya, have a very, very hard time believing anything beyond their nose could be reality.
Right.
And I really think that a lot of it has to do, well, here, we'll use women as an example.
Yeah.
I know this is probably going to aggravate some men, but, you know, the truth is the truth, and I'm like you. I pick the truth.
Yeah.
There are a lot of times that mm-hmm. women are truly not considered as equal, you know,
yes.
to a man.
Yes.
And the problem with that is that the women are usually raising the children, single moms, raising
right.
their children,
right.
having to make ends meet, and they cannot get ahead like what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, and that's because they have preached to us for so many years that it's a man's world.
Right.
But now women are changing that. The only problem is that a lot of the women have to stay in their truth, which means they have to make up their mind to tell themselves that they deserve to have more, and they deserve to have the same as equal rights. And when they start doing that, Maya, that's when they're going to start to see changes, just like you did. But we have been dictated to by so many people for so long.
Right.
And I'm not just picking on the men, because there are many men out there who are older men
yes.
and have the knowledge, they have all of this stuff, and yet they can't find a job because the companies want the younger men.
Yes.
The inexperienced that
yes.
they can pay a little less money.
Yeah.
So I'm not just picking on men, but it's very true that there is a very big, you know, inequality
oh.
on, you know, here
yes.
where we're at. So how do you address that? How do you want to tell the listeners what they should do? I know you talked a little bit about it, but is there like another guidance that you can give them?
How about inequality? I'm going to touch upon both areas, the part where we ourselves, forget the part about men not seeing women as equal. That is an absolute truth, and I've experienced to a great deal, especially when a woman starts owning her power. That is when men get threatened. It's not when you're being sweet and nice and, oh, and I'm a good old person, I'll go with whatever you say. That's a different thing. I've done that role in corporate for many years. But the minute I started questioning them, this is not what I want. I think there is something wrong with this idea. And, you know, you start standing in your power, then, yes. I've had in the last job I did, men would come to my meeting and they would ask me, are you the only, is your manager going to be here? And I was in a pretty leadership role there, interacting with the vice presidents and all that. Is your manager going to be here? I would say, no, she asked me to do the meeting. And they would just say, then there's no point having this meeting, and they would walk away.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that is, yes, in this country, in 2008, we do have inequality between men and women. But the good news for women is what I learned from my teacher, Maya, is that the balance it is shifting. With this year, women will be given great opportunities. But for women, what I would suggest, the way I found my power, was through my work. Through the work of seeing who I am and releasing my fear. It doesn't just come to you in a platter. Here, take the power and do it. I do a work every day. Every day I sit, do my writing work. What are the fears that I saw today within me? Let me see. Talk to me about it. And one by one, it is a conscious, focused effort every day to release whatever new things I observe. For example, when the presidential campaign was going on, I saw everybody not having integrity. They were telling one person said this, they did not really say that, they did this, but they really did not do it. And I was just getting totally upset by this until I wrote and found out, what is sin within me that is not having integrity? And then I released it. So the process is inside. Your outside is not going to change. And when you do the work, your outside will change. People will listen to you. But more than that, let me touch upon this inequality. So the reason inequality exists is this one thought, which says either you're better than another or you're less than them. And we all have it. There is obvious racism and, you know, the inequality between the sexes. That is there. But let's talk about small things. Small things. For example, I would always look when I'm a career woman. The minute I got out of college, I was into corporate. And I always had a judgment about people, women who stay at home, mothers. I look to them, I think, oh, you just didn't try hard enough. You took the easy way out. I'm a mother too, and I'm taking care of it. You just don't want to own your power. You know, that's a judgment. For their spiritual purposes, being a homemaker, they could be having massive lessons in that role. You know, that is a judgment. You know, thinking that you're better than the other. And another thing is, if you think you're a better person because of your bank account or your education, your job or your personality, that is inequality. That is, just because someone else doesn't have what you have doesn't make you make them a lesser person or you a better person. A manager in a company not seeing her subordinates as an equal, they think, oh, for some reason, it's a thought process. Some reason they're better than them. You are a manager because of the skill sets you bring and the guidance you give to the team and being a good leader. It doesn't make you a better human being. To be a better human being, it's how much truth are you allowing in your life? How willing are you to see the lies in your life? We all have lies in our life. We blame others for our problems. We don't see the truth in every situation. We try like to believe what we think is true. So inequality starts in our every small action. It's not just a big thing. It's this one thought which says, I'm less than you or I'm better than you. So, and another reason where you can have inequality, here's the reason. I had this problem. In universe, in illusion, everybody reflects your shadows, your disowned part. People reflect that. That's why you get hooked on and get a reaction out. When you will bring on your partners who have a reflection that you have, because there is a lesson for you to learn. One is there's a lesson for you to learn to maybe stand up and speak for yourself. Another thing is they are giving your reflections too. So as long as you're seeing the reflection, you will reject the other person. You will, like I was rejecting all the presidential, the people who were standing for the presidency because I was rejecting integrity. I thought I had integrity. My whole life, I was the one focus I had was I want to be truthful. I want to have integrity in my life because my childhood had zero integrity. So, and even having that passion every moment of my life, integrity was missing. That is why I was rejecting those people, because I couldn't bear to see that within myself, that I was discerning my own lack of integrity. And when I did the writing work and I released it and, you know, that was okay. And then I could look at these people and not have not be affected by what they were saying. I didn't have a charge. I looked at them and saw compassion. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're protecting yourself because you're scared you're losing. You know, that was the way I came. Not like, how dare you say that? You are lying. That is a different emotion when looking from a place of compassion. Mm-hmm. I touched upon many topics on inequality. Did you feel comfortable with what was discussed, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, and it's very true. You know, people want, and I really believe this about people, I really truly believe that they want to all live in harmony, but
yes.
I think that, again, because of the way we have been raised, the way that, you know, we have been told certain things, I mean, people like myself, who has also been very honest, and I tell this story because it's true, I used to be a licensed practical nurse. I don't do it anymore because even as a student, I get very, very aggravated with the medical profession. And so I have always been a rebel. So every week I was down at the dean's as a student. And all I would hear is, you know, for what you're doing, we ought to throw you out. And my comment to them was, well, that's right. You just go right ahead because I will find a different way to help people. I said, the only thing is that you're going to have a hard time saying to everybody is that you have a straight-A student here who never opens a book, and because she's not agreeing with exactly what you're saying, I'm not worthy of being a nurse.
Mm.
And, I mean, I went through this, you know, month right. after month after month after month.
Right.
But I wouldn't and I couldn't change my thought because I watched things go on, I saw things that were being done,
right.
I watched how other students would bow down to what they were right. being told by the doctors to do, even if they had not been shown how to do it yet. See, and I wouldn't do that. So I used to have doctors really mad at me. And I would just say to them, if you were me and you had not been shown that yet, and a doctor was telling you to do this that could possibly hurt the patient, would you do it? Well, they'd get upset with me and walk away.
Right.
But I couldn't bow down to that grinding of, you're going to do this, you're going to do this because I'm telling you to. It's like, no, I can't do that. Even though I know how to do this, I've not been okay to do it. And until I'm okay to do it, I'm not doing it as a student. So I did. I went through a very rough 18 months worth of nurses training because I would not bow down.
Right.
And even when I got out of nurses training and I got, you know, a job, I still could not bow down to the way they wanted nurses to do things.
Yes.
And so I got tired of it. Yes. And I said, you know, I cannot do this. There has to be a better way to help people. And I found it because of the readings and things that I do.
Right.
But, you know, for me, you know, it's very important that the listeners understand that they really do need to be who they are, and they really need to stand for the truth that they believe in.
Yes.
You know, because if they don't, their life is going to turn into a total mix-up of jumbled whatever info that they have, and they're going to look back and go, you know, I probably should have done it this way, but instead I did it that way. Because I did it that way, I'm not quite where I should be. You know, and other people, they look at, well, if I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to make a lot more money than if I do it that way.
Right.
And so they immediately go to the money part of it, which, again, is hard because then you're putting greed out there.
And
it's hard because people think, just like you said, that they're better than others, that they should be paid more than others, and right down the line.
Right.
So when it comes to greed and that kind of a topic, do you address that in the Book of Illusions?
It is touched briefly in the book, and the truth and everything is touched in great extent. But let me talk about greed, because about the crashing the stock
market. Mm-hmm.
It is just a great time to talk about greed. For me, this is what I understood about grief. Greed is about fear of scarcity, fear of poverty, not thinking there is enough for you. And second thing, not trusting, not having a connection to God to provide for all your needs. I'll talk about the connection in detail soon. And another reason for greed, you know, we are all trying to, we accumulate so much and trying to build a good sense of self. You can't build a self-esteem through acquiring things. Your self-esteem doesn't be, I mean, there is a false sense of self that will crash immediately as fast as the stock market crashes. But I'm talking about the real stuff, the you you can, that is strong and that can withstand things. It does not come by acquiring things. When people who are right now on Wall Street, what is happening? People are just, they want more money than they need. So now we have recession. And they're trying to find some kind of a false sense of powerful self by acquiring things and by taking a lot of risk. Remember, teacher just talked to us about. And that really does not work because it has to. Everything that is not in truth will be revealed. That is this life. Everyone will get an opportunity to clean up their act. It can come in pretty devastating ways, like people losing money and home, or it can come, for me, it came in the form of panic attack. At 28 years, I had a series of panic attacks because I had to see the lice in my life. So everyone has a turn at cleanup. And in greed, when I'm talking about trusting God to provide for you, that is not there. And it is not something you take it as a concept. It is not something that you, that faith, it's not something that you get from your church or your parents or your temple. Faith is something that you, it is a self-discovery. Everybody's discovery of faith is their own unique personal journey. For me, when I was brought up in the path of Hinduism, non-dual teachings. Along with it, I went to a convent, so I had Jesus Christ. So my teachings came from both sides. Then I came to the Zen path. The Zen path was, you know, we are all one. There's no God. God is within us. Find that God. That is true. That is completely true. But then there was a falseness in it too. So when the time came for me to find out who the Creator is, to discover my faith, I had to drop all concepts. I had to really drop all concepts and stand there, okay, Father, I call the Creator Father. The Supreme Creator, that's the way He moves for me. Okay, Father, Let me know if you're taking care of me. You did not show up for 30 years of my life. And I do feel betrayed. And I would talk to him. I would have a personal connection with him. And I would cry to him. And then in that process of surrender, revelations were coming to me constantly. Constantly. And like Reese, this is one of my, you know, great favorite stories that happened just a couple of months back. It was fresh in my mind. I left corporate in this February. I took a break because I needed to do book talks, radio, and I need to do some self-work. I need to get my word out in the other career that I'm starting. And I took a break from corporate America this February. Money was running out. I had no intention of going for any interview. There was total disinterest. And I knew September my money would run out. And a month before, I was sitting and praying to God, okay, I'm trusting you. Show me something. Give me something. And all of a sudden, there was this document. And before that, I had a check on my wall. For the last 6 months, I've been trying to manifest $100,000. I would look at the check every day and say, Father, thank you for this. This is mine. I'm pretty good at manifestation. I've manifested great things in my life so far. So I'm trying to manifest this, and nothing is happening. And money is running out. I have a child here. And I saw this document. I called up this financial institute. I thought there were some shares that I sold a while back. I had $104,000 sitting there based on something that I had invested. I had invested a couple of thousand years back. I forgot about it. It had multiplied to 100,000, but I feel that Father had a worked hand in it. It didn't have to meet that number, 100,000. It could be less. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is how I discover faith. Faith is asking God to prove that you're taking care of me. Prove it to me so that I can come to you. And just you saying that is making an opening. And when you do that, your greed will also go away. Because somewhere, that knowing in the Creator, this connection will start filling you up. You no longer have this emptiness within you that you're trying to fill with food and with clothes and with shoes and with things for your home and money. You're no longer trying to fill this emptiness within you. Because all of us have that void. Everybody has this place that nothing can fill you. And we basically keep going after things thinking that will fill you. No, that is what the Creator left in every one of us, this emptiness that only He can fill in. And that's the beauty. And when you start making this connection to the Creator in your own way, make this connection, you no longer have this moment to eat more than you want, buy more shoes than what you want, and you no longer have go towards this false sense of self-esteem by defining yourself through the money you have.
Mm-hmm. Which is what a lot of people do.
Yes,
you know,
that's what's happening.
They say who has the most toys has the most, you know, whatever. And
right.
It's like, well, I don't quite agree with that.
Right,
you know?
And it is, and God has a way of taking care of that. Right now, look what's happening. Everybody has a learning point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has. I did that too. For me, it was not money. It was a job. I wanted to have a career. I wanted to have power in my job. I wanted to have a leadership role. And I totally did not have my heart. The integrity at work was not there. There was a period when the Creator took my job for 8 months. There was a period in my past when I did not have any job. Not that I didn't want to work. I wanted to work. I just did not have a job for 8 months. And then towards the end of those 8 months, I came to a point where I was devastated. And then my teacher talked to me and told me, you know what? You no longer have arrogance now. That was my lesson. She said, you know, the Creator stopped that. Stop money coming to you for you to learn this lesson in arrogance. I was a very arrogant person, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a clean-up time. I learned my lesson. I was grateful for it. And Creator gave me a job, and the money went through the ceiling. That was the way it happened. So everybody will get their chance to learn. This too will change.
Well, I think everybody has to have the chance to learn, Maya, because if they don't,
yes,
they'll end up being very, very lost.
Oh,
and that's
thank
not
you.
What we're here for. You know,
you bring compassion to that point. Yes, exactly. Everybody needs to have that chance because that is compassion. Sometimes losing something, destroying, like the Creator taking this from you, seeing through your illusion, taking away what you hold as precious so that you can see the truth, that's a very compassionate thing, so that we can all become better.
And it's really hard for a lot of people to accept that.
Yes.
You know, and that's part of the things that they really need to learn.
Yes.
And fortunately, you know, they, you know, like you're talking about the stock market falling, and a lot of people, you know, have probably lost a tremendous amount of money.
Yes.
But what cracks me up the most, and I don't listen to the news very often because I really don't like what they talk about, and they don't really say anything fun, and they don't say anything that's happy, so I don't listen to a lot.
Right.
What cracks me up the most is on the computer, which I also don't do a lot, they'll come up and they'll say, billionaires lost their money. And they'll tell you, you know, so-and-so, whatever the name is, lost $1.10, you know, billion dollars because the stock market failed.
Yes.
Well, then they turn around and say, but they're worth $30 billion. And it's like, you know, so that whatever they lost,
yes,
if it could just be given to all of these people who are out there struggling, needing to have some self-confidence, needing to have some belief that, yeah, this really does work, that to me would make things a little bit more fair.
I think this is the right time for me to share this with you. My teacher has told me a year and a half back, there is a man, a billionaire, who's a benefactor of humanity, who's going to come forward and do something that is so phenomenal. He's going to help people, give them all that they need, whether it's a free counseling or whatever they need, the education, in a large way, nationwide way. You know, I never thought billionaires had that in them. So she was telling, you know, he's a man, and it's going to happen sometime this end of this year or early next year. And he's going to do that. And this benefactor of humanity is going to have this organization where everyone is going to discover, yeah, God hears them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way, how will you know God hears? Well, another thing you can do is, I know a place called healfromprayer.org, an internet site. It's free. Anyone can go there and give their whatever they need prayer for,
mm-hmm,
and we all will pray. All of my teacher students pray for them. And you know what, Nancy? We've healed three people with HIV and two with cancer. And one of the ladies, the doctors thought she was going to die. And it was through prayer. And when someone prays for you and your prayer comes true, you will automatically have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm excited about this billionaire who's going to do something through GodHearsUs.com as well as this HealFromPrayer.org, where people, somehow all this is picking up. People are coming to many teachers to gain help. You know, they know that something is not working. And somehow they're all coming towards that.
Well, part of it true, and that is true, because there's many, many changes that are truly going to be starting during 2010. I know everybody's caught up with 2012, but believe me, folks, 2010 is going to be a very big awakening for a lot of people.
Yes.
And it should help a lot of people to try to get equal. And I have to say equal only because most people are either very high or very low, and there's not an equal.
Yes.
So there has to be these changes coming, and I know everybody is freaking out because of 2012, but the world is not going to end in 2012.
Right.
You know, it's not going
to
be total disaster. However, it is going to change. And as it changes, that is the point of what we call the God awakening in most people.
Yes.
And it is coming. And so the people who are sitting out there, like yourself, you know, trying to get people to understand that there is help on the way, and the people who are sitting there who really desperately need the help, going, well, somebody better help me soon. Okay?
Yes.
You know, they got to understand that it is coming, but they still have to do their part.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. Yes. This is not a freebie. You just don't hit a button and you get in enlightenment. The way back to the light is the same way that you came out of it, through your darkness, through your shadows. You have to embrace everything that prevented you from seeing the truth and release it. It is not romantic. The way you get to through truth is through your illusion. And this is a point that I talk about in my book, The Power of Illusion. It is through your illusion, and everybody will get a chance. And the thing is, if you don't do it, if you ignore things for too long, you can manifest a physical ailment, cancer, anything. For me, when I had all of a sudden I had Graves' disease. I do detox and I do all the green stuff, and I had this. And this heart condition, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I had it. And I talked to my teacher, and she told me, okay, Maya, you write about these two things. I couldn't breathe. I thought I had to go to emergency. It is a very uncomfortable feeling, heart palpitation. It's like having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And she told me, you write about these two things. One is your glandular system being affected is because you have lack of discernment. Write about that. And then second thing, she said, you think you're not lovable. You write about these two things. And that's how. That day I spent 2 hours, because this is crunch time. What I was not seeing manifested as a disease for me, and I just put everything I had and wrote about the lack of discernment I had, and why am I not lovable, and I reprogrammed my unconscious mind. That night, my palpitation stopped. My anxiety stopped. Everything stopped. My thyroid came back. I didn't have those physical symptoms, because you can't do your work when you're having those physical symptoms. I can't go out. And it all stopped. It was that powerful. So, yeah, everybody will get a chance. One way or the other, awareness is already increasing. And I'm, one thing that I do, that our teachers asked us to do is pray. Pray for the people so that they're no longer caught by the negativity but come towards the positive. Right now, when you turn on the TV, the media, everything that is negative is great attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Truth-based news has gone. The media doesn't have the responsibility to be objective and set good boundaries. Truth is not coming out. And, so everything will get a chance to be seen. I can see it in my life. I can see in the other people's life how transformations happen. And everybody will get a chance. If they don't, they will lose something pretty big. And they will come back.
And it will. Now, if somebody wanted to get your book, The Power of Illusion, where would they get it from?
They can go to the website, powerofillusion.com.
Okay.
And they can go there, and I also give one-on-one sessions. They can go there and see that information. And I also have recommended 4 beautiful spiritual teachers, so that they have many choices out there. So they can find out who they are close to, and they can go for that.
I think that a lot of people really need to get that illusion gone, actually, and bring in the right illusion here, okay? Give out the website again so that people...
It is powerofillusion.com. You can go there, and you can get my book there. You can get to, and also, the good thing about that website, many of the teachings are for free that I have put there, what I do, whatever I channel every day, it's sitting there. So there's this wonderful things in our page called Contemplation Corner. Just look at that and let it move. Just reading something can move something. It can cause a shift within you, and let that happen.
If somebody wants to contact you to set up a session, do they go through your website to do that?
They can go through my website, or they can call me at 408-927-9445.
Okay, now repeat both of those again so the listeners get them.
So they can go to my website, powerofillusion.com, or they can call me at 408-927-9445.
And they can also go to your radio show.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. I forgot about it. I'm hosting my radio show on Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's on contacttalkradio.com. The information is there on my homepage, and I'll be talking teachings about everything, how to release addictions, release fear one by one, everything. And I will also be inviting my beloved teacher, Maya, Seya, Indra, all these beautiful teachers in my life. And I'll be also talking about how to reduce, we have 22.5 million cases of FBI criminal cases in 2007. That's a pretty high number. So what can we all do? How can we all help? I'll be bringing people to talk about all that stuff, too.
It's so important. Maya, what do you think about And this is one of my topics because I have a 501c3, which is nonprofit, called A Child's Miracle Mind.
Ooh.
And I have a hard time with the way that they pass out the prescription drugs for ADD, ADHD, like it's candy.
Yes, that's happening, isn't it? And half of these children are indigo children.
Yeah, probably a lot of them. But I think people need to understand that these children also need to have some form of empowerment for themselves. And I'm not seeing the parents of these children help them with that, mostly because I don't believe they know how, or I don't think that they think that's possible. So when you do sessions to help people release different things, do you ever work with children?
Oh, yes. I love working with children. I have. They bring their kids, and children recognize, they recognize truths much more easily than adults do.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so beautiful to have that connection. Yes, I'm devoted to helping children. Oh, yes, yes. They can bring their children. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think it's real important because I think that a lot of the things that's going on with these children today is probably because of a lot of the emotional tension, stress, and all that.
Yes.
That stuff that their parents are truly under, and they think just give them a pill and that's a quick fix.
Yes, yes. And they're all rushing to grow up to become adults. The media doesn't help them. You know, people, very young people are all models, and young people are doing movies and having sex on screen. And that's what they have to model. And the high level of alcohol and drugs, 12th graders, and I read all this. It is sad. Teenage pregnancies. The brain is not expanded enough to deal with mature decisions at that point. And everything has an emotional component to it. And, I also want to do, not only am I ready to help right now through sessions, but I want to do something bigger, Nancy. I want to help children in a more organized way, in a big way. And I hope that formulates soon.
It will, because I'm also going to start the School of Now, which is a school that is a different design than what our systems do now.
Oh, bless you.
Because this system that we've had for years is failing these students, not the students failing the school.
Yes.
And so along with A Child's Miracle Mind, the School of Now is what I also have, and then I have the Miracle Mind Institute, which will help them go from kindergarten all the way through adulthood, and it will help the adults that are out there right now who are searching and looking for answers, and they have no place to go to get them, nor do they know who to ask.
They don't know. Yes.
You know, so I'm putting it all together, and I talk about it on my show because, to me, it is very, very important. In fact, my logo it's got a comet, and the tail is all stars. And inside the comet is a picture of my 4-year-old granddaughter, who is now 8. That's how long I've been working on this. And above the comet tail, it says, Our Hope. And underneath the comet tail, it says, Our Future.
Oh,
and I am trying to get people to understand that that is the most truth that is going on.
Oh, Nancy, thank you. Thank you for sharing this. This is just energizing me so much. Oh, I would love to have you on my radio show.
You're going to have me on your radio show.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you.
You know, and you're very welcome. So, you know, to me, for people who are trying to help adults get out of their illusions, they also need to help these children, okay, be who they are without the adult illusions, you know, making it hard on them.
Yes. If the adults don't know any better, what are they going to teach?
Uh-huh. So I think it's all hand in hand, and I think it's real important starting with the kids and working all the way up through adulthood, because without starting with the kids, they don't have a chance right now, because starting with the adults who are kind of hard-headed and don't really want to learn quickly, it's not helping these kids. So it's real important that you also work with the kids, which I'm glad that you do. You know, our hour actually is just about up. So I want you to give out your website again and the phone number so people can get a hold of you along with the name of your book.
The name of my book is called The Power of Illusion. It's a very loving guide to help you release fears and self-sabotaging actions and manifest what you want. And my website is powerofillusion.com. My phone number, if you want to have a session, is 408-927-9445.
Okay. You don't have to hang up yet. I'm just going to make some announcements because I don't normally do this. And I talked with the station man before, and he gave me the okay. So all you that are listening out there, there's a lot of things that are going on that I'm trying to do and trying to create. So I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of all of them. And then I'm going to tell you that some of my upcoming shows, I'm going to be opening the phone line halfway through the hour to answer questions by phone by doing readings. Now, that's going to be starting probably sometime within the next two shows. So about the third week of October, it's going to be announced that the phone lines are open. And when that happens, I really expect a lot of you listeners who have these questions that are kind of afraid to ask anybody to please call in, and I'll give you the most truthful answers that I possibly can, because I'm not one to blow smoke up your butt. It doesn't work like that for me. But I'm going to be doing that for all of you that are listening, and they're only quick ones, so nobody's going to get a whole bunch of time. The other thing is, I want you all to know that I have a book out. It is called Raised by Angels, and it is a self-help guide for you all going through your journey based on my life that I had to go through my stuff. And it's a very, very good book. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. But what it does do is help you to understand who you are, just like what Maya is talking about with her power of illusion. We just go about it a little bit differently. The other thing is that I am trying to create donations for my child's Miracle Mind so I can move ahead and put up that School of Now. So anybody who is listening out there who wants to help these children, maybe they're some of your children, maybe you know a child, or maybe you just see what we are already talking about when it comes to kids, this is your time to help, because we really do need the help. You can go to my website. It is www.nancyspsychicresources.com, or you can go to www.childsmiraclemind.org. Those two websites have all the information on there, talks about the children of now, and remember, these are our future. You know, they are going to put this world back together. So help us to help them, because it is very, very important. Now, Maya, one more time before I sign off, give out your website and your phone number.
Website is powerofillusion.com. Phone number is 408-927-9445.
And Maya, it's been great having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy. I just had so much fun today.
Good. You keep up your good work. You let me know when you want me to be on your show. I would look forward to that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, so you can give me a call back anytime you want. I will give out my phone number for all of you out there listening, because I actually do private readings too. My number is 630-941-6816. That is 630-941-6816. So everybody that's been listening, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, kind of filled you up. But Maya's book is The Power of Illusion, and you can get it from her website, thepowerofillusion.com. You can listen to her radio show, contacttalkradio.com, Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Her phone number is 408-927-9445. Maya, again, it's been great having you on the show. I wish you the best with whatever you're going to continue to do, and I know you'll do well.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, all of the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and kind of remember what we've talked about today, and really think about the children. Again, may God bless you. Have a great week. Take care, and we'll talk later. Bye now.